Number four this tonight, Philippians chapter number four. And what I want to do, I want to go back to chapter three and cover just two more verses. We were just a little rushed last time, and I want to do the last two verses for 1 second before we move into chapter number four. And Philippians has been a good book, and I've enjoyed it, and I enjoy the theme of it, rejoice. And I think Christian people ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought not be the saddest people and the long-faced people in the whole world, but we ought to be the happiest people in the world. I know everything's not going right, and I know things not running like we think they ought to. But even in our circumstances like that, we can rejoice in the Lord for a lot of different reasons. Here in Philippians chapter number 3, I want to cover the last two verses just for a second and then move on in to chapter number 4. And the reason I want to do that is not because I'm trying to think of something to say. But if you'll look at the first word in chapter number 4, it says, therefore. And so anytime in the Bible you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. And so when a person says, or Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, when he says that, in other words, he's saying, in light of what we just said, therefore, do da 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 da. And so I want to cover the last two verses of chapter 3 before we get to the therefore. And then you'll better understand what we're talking about. Verse number 20 and verse number 21. Paul ends chapter number 3 in this way. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship, our manner of life is in heaven. You ought to act like your Christian life down here, you ought to act like you're already up there. When you walk the streets of Dyersburg, Tennessee, when you go to Walmart, when you go to Kroger, when you go wherever you go, when you go to work, you ought to walk your manner of life, your conversation, your citizenship. You ought to act like you're already there. You ought to act like your citizenship is there. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. My citizenship's not down here. It's up there. And so I act, my demeanor, my manner of life, my conversation is up there. Your conversation shouldn't be about worldly things. It ought to be about heavenly things. And so Paul says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I quoted Titus 2 and verse 13 to you. And it says, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus is coming. And He's coming very soon. You say, boy, you've been saying that ever since you've been here. I know, and if we're here another 7 years, He's still on His way. If you don't worry about a thing, He's still on His way, and we ought to look for that blessed hope. Our citizenship, our conversation ought to be there. Our manner of life, the way we act down here, ought to be, we're already acting like we're already up there. So when you're sitting in church and the preacher says something real good, you ought to act like you're already up there. Because if some of you act up there like you do down here, they're going to throw you out. As soon as we get to heaven and the angels are around the throne are going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I see some of you now. Your manner of life, your conversation, you ought to act like you're already there. And I'm going to tell you, you know, and of course I don't think everybody, you know, shouting or saying amen or whatever, I don't think that means you're spiritual. You are more spiritual than anybody else. People act different ways, and that's fine. Some people cry, some people laugh, some people shout, some people don't do anything. But our conversation, our manner of life ought to be already there. We're looking for the blessed hope. Now, verse 21. Who shall, the Lord Jesus Christ is the who shall change our vile body? Well, that's a good motivational sermon. Did you know your body is vile? You say, preacher, not mine. Yes, yours. If you don't believe that, don't take a bath or a shower for about a week and see if you don't smell the vileness. We're headed back to the graveyard. I think I said this a Wednesday night ago, or maybe it was on a Sunday morning. I don't know. But us men especially, on a Sunday, you wear a dress shirt, a white dress shirt, and you start sweating and whatever. You take that off, and on the inside of it, y'all tell me what's on there. Ring around the collar. You know what it is? Dirt. We're a bunch of dirt balls. You have a vile body. And you cannot go to heaven in the body you're in tonight. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says this. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes, is going to change your vile body. All right, if He's going to change it, what is He going to change it into? That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Wouldn't you like to have a body like the Lord? I'm talking about a perfect. I'm talking about, hey, about 33 years old. No wrinkles, hallelujah. fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now, we went over this very heady last week. We was talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He died, He was about 33. He resurrected. He died bodily. He resurrected bodily. When He appeared to the disciples, they thought He was a ghost. And one of them, was afraid, I guess you could say. They were afraid of, thought He was a ghost or whatever. And He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone like you see Me have. This is in His resurrected body. So His resurrected body had flesh and bone. But it was resurrected, glorious. It was different flesh. You understand? So, the only way you can ever be resurrected and the only way you'll ever get to go to heaven. I know some of you are saved. I hope all of you are saved. And I know that. And I know you're on your way to heaven. But you will not go to heaven until your body has been changed. You can't go to heaven in the body you got. Now, I want to show you real quickly. Look at two places before we go to chapter 4. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in the other hand, get 1 Corinthians 15. We'll go to both of those places, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here's what Paul was talking about. Let me ask you a question while you're finding 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How many of you in the room have been out to the graveyard and you had to put one of your family members, one of your friends, one of your co-workers that you knew they were saved. You knew they were saved, and but you had to follow that casket out there to the grave side there and had to put them their body in the ground. Let me see your hand. All of us in the room have had that experience. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you why chapter 4 starts with a therefore. In light of these things we're fixing to talk about, therefore, my beloved brethren. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Paul is writing 1 Thessalonians as well. And he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant about these things I'm fixing to tell you about. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, saved people, concerning them which are asleep. Now, that's not talking about people that are sleeping in church. That's talking about people that are asleep out in the graveyard. When Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter number 7, it says Stephen fell asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. So, those are saved people. Lost people, when they refer to lost people, they say they're dead. Saved people never die. Don't get excited. Saved people never die. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, we should cry at the funeral of a lost person. They have no hope. Now, I know we cry at the funeral of saved people. I know that because they're so close to us and we love them and that kind of thing. I understand. But and what Paul is saying is, in essence, you can wipe them tears away. They have hope. And if you're saved, you have hope. And yes, you may cry for a little while, but you will see them again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, all right, I hope that's what you believed when you got saved. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, all right, that's us, everybody in the building still alive and remain and breathing, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, probably Michael, the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, it's a two-part thing. The dead's going to rise first when the Lord comes, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When he does descend, and when he does shout, and when the trumpet does sound, the dead in Christ, that means saved people. Only saved people can be in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, that's the rest of us that are saved, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort. Now, if you can't find comfort in what we just read, there's no comfort for you. If you can't find comfort in what we just read, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if you were going to go through halfway the tribulation or all the tribulation, you couldn't comfort one another with those words. So you ain't going through the tribulation. We're going out on the first shout. We're going out on the first trump. Hallelujah. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And then I'll illustrate it for you, and then we'll move on to chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. Paul wrote this as well in 1 Corinthians 15. He wrote this as well. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's a great verse to put over the nursery door. Come on, people. This side over here hadn't even laughed yet. It'll get to them in a minute. Y'all pray for them. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Question, why do we have to be changed? Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, because of our vile body. That's why you got to be changed. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We all shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." Notice that word, incorruptible. "And we shall be changed." Well, verse 53 says how they went in the ground. "For this corruptible," that's vile body, corruption, corruptible, "must put on incorruption." Why must it put on incorruption? Because it can't go to heaven if it's in a corruptible body. "And this mortal," that's what we put in the ground, "must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." That's why a saved person, when you get ready to die, I know, I think about it. And so, I wonder how it's going to be to die. Well, I've never done it before. So you don't know. And it's the mystery of the unknown. But I guarantee you, when you get to that point, there's dying grace that takes over. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Now, a lost person, when death looks them in the eye, they're scared to death. But when a saved person looks at death, death knocks on the door, and you take your last breath, you'll have a smile on your face. I guarantee you, you'll have a smile on your face. Why? Because death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me illustrate it this way. When you got saved, you are a three-part being. You are a body, soul, and a spirit. You're just like the Trinity. God made every man and woman, boy and girl, in His image, as far as Adam, as far as the body, soul, and spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when He made man, He made them the same way, body, soul, and spirit. The only difference in you and God, or one of the differences in you and God, is God can separate His, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we can't separate our body, soul, and spirit. We can't do it. We have to stay together. But once you got saved, your soul and spirit on the inside, the real you, was merged together and made a new creature. In Christ Jesus. You a new nature. That's the new man. Well, this right here is the old man. And this is what we have trouble with on a daily basis. This part of me, the inside of me, this is the saved part. When I got saved, I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me. And He merged the soul and the spirit together and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is my new man. This is the part that wants to come to church. This is the part of me that wants to read my Bible. This is the part of me that wants to pray three times a day and talk to the Lord. This is the part of me that wants to live for God. This is the part of me that wants to walk after the Spirit. But I've got another part of me that's mean as a devil. And that's this part over here. That's this vile body. Man, I'm telling you what, something strikes me the wrong way, I mean it's a devil. I mean, you just ask my mom or dad, or ask my wife, ask my kids, son, I get tore up about stuff. Driving's one, I ain't going to go into it, but driving is one of my, Lord, if you don't know how to drive, stay off the road, please. Saved or lost, makes no difference, stay home if you don't know how to drive. Pulling out in front of people, you say, preacher, I don't have any problem with my flesh. Okay, I tell you what, you wait on me after church, and you pull out, I'm going to pull out in front of you, and I'm going to slow down to about 20. I'm going to keep popping my brakes, and then I'll speed up and go, now pop my brake. When you try to pass me, I'm going to drive over in the other lane. And by the time you get home, you will see what I'm talking about. That's my old man. That's my new man. That's the old man. That's the part that ain't saved yet. Well, guess what? A saved person. Your mom, dad, grandparents, whatever. When they die. The Apostle Paul said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, what part goes absent from the body? So a person takes their last breath. This new man goes to heaven. All right, I'm going to lay that right up here. This pulpit up here, there's heaven. There he goes. We take the old man, and we go out to the graveyard, and we plant him in the ground. That's the old man. That's a vile body right there. That right there, what we put in the ground, is the part of you that gives you the most trouble every day. It's a vile body. It cannot go to heaven like it is. So, when the Lord comes, it could be tonight. The Lord could come tonight. There's nothing keeping Him from coming tonight. So what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and following, says this, the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trumpet of God. The dead in Christ only save people out in the graveyard. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, this corruptible shall put on what? Incorruption. Philippians 3 and verse 21 says, He's coming to change our what? Vile body. Why? So we can go to heaven. You said, I thought we was already in heaven. Yeah, that part up there, the inside, the part, the saved part, is in heaven. And so when the Lord comes back, He brings that part with Him. The dead in Christ shall rise first, come up out of the ground, your loved one, He changes it. I'm looking for a different songbook so you can see the change. You just use your imagination. That's a different songbook. Change. That's a good songbook. And we go to meet Him where? Well, let me put them together. You've got to put them together. They meet the Lord in the air. And He takes you on back up to heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You can't go to heaven in the body you're in now. It's got to be changed. So I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, what about the us that ain't in the ground? Well, guess what? Our old nature, new nature. We're all together. We're sitting here in this room right now. The Lord, we hear the trumpet sound. We hear our name called. Just like Jesus calls Lazarus' name. He come up out of the ground. You'll hear your name called. You got a new name, probably a Hebrew name. You got a Hebrew name, probably. You got a new name. We sang a song in the hymn book. There's a new name in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Hallelujah. All right, we're sitting in the room. We hear the trumpet sound. I'm all together. I hadn't been absent from the body. So what happens is, between here and me meeting the Lord in the air, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:51, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, this corruption shall put on incorruption, and I'll be changed in the middle of the air. And I'll be gathered together to meet my loved ones that's coming out of the ground. They got 6 more foot to go than we do. That's a tough crowd tonight, Brother W.J. Here they come, and then by that time, He changes us. And we go, and we meet the Lord in the air, and there we go, we change. Some of y'all had knee surgeries and knee replacements. As the rapture takes place right now, that knee and old plastic, whatever they make it out of, be laying right there in the seat. Get a new knee. Nobody in heaven is going to have a plastic hip. Look, glasses fall off. Some of you, I don't know. Hair may grow between here and there. Or everyone in here could lose yours. Because the song says there'll be no parting over there. Hallelujah. Who shall change our vile bodies? Now, I said all that to be funny, but I want you to get a hold of it too. Laughing at the same time and getting a hold of it at the same time. Folks, that's why Paul says in the next chapter, and I may not have about 5 or 10 minutes to get to it, but that's why he said the next chapter, therefore, in light of what I just showed you, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because I don't care what you're going through down here. Just hang on. If the Lord comes tonight, you ain't got to worry about it no more anyway. Nothing you're going through right now, the rapture can't take care of. And so let's go back just a few minutes now. I done took all my time up talking about that. But it sure was good. I like talking about that. Now, let me get just a couple of verses in before we take prayer requests. Philippians chapter 4. That's why Paul starts out. Okay, I just told you, the Lord's coming for us. And the Lord's going to change our vile bodies. And we're going to be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye, in the middle of the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be forever with the Lord. Therefore, My brethren, dearly beloved. I'm so excited I can't read. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, Holy Hills Baptist Church, stand fast in the Lord. Say, preacher, why? Because we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here one of these days. Stand fast, my dearly beloved, my joy. It's a joy for me to come and preach on Sunday. It's a joy. It may not be a joy to listen to, but it's a joy for me to preach on Sunday and Wednesday nights and whatever. It's a joy. Why? This is my joy to preach. This is my joy. This is what I'm looking for. My reward. Paul said this in one place. He's talking about his reward, the crown of rejoicing. You notice he called the people at Philippi here his joy, his crown. 1 Thessalonians, he calls them, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, he calls them the crown of rejoicing. He's saying there's some people in the church of Philippi that I've led to the Lord myself. They are my spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is what he said. He said, rejoice. These are my crown. This is my crown of rejoicing. Now, folks, listen to me. When you lead a person to Jesus Christ, when you witness to someone, when you try to present them the gospel, and they get saved, hey, that is your crown. You get to the judgment seat of Christ and the crowns are passed out, make sure you got some. Start with your family. Make sure your family's going to heaven. Make sure they know the gospel. Make sure at least, hey, you can't make them accept Christ, but you make sure they know how to get saved whenever they do get ready to get saved. I mean, you can't make people get saved, but you can. Paul says, I can present the gospel to you. And so chapter number 4. This is what it has to do with. I'll give you a little introduction to it, and then we'll close for tonight. We'll try to go a little more next week. Chapter 4. Do you remember every chapter deals with something that's going to rob your joy? Chapter 1, circumstance will rob your joy. But Paul gave us in chapter 1, he said that single-mindedness will take care of that. Then in chapter number 2, he said people will rob your joy. How many of y'all know that to be true? Boy, people can rob your joy in a minute. Boy, you can be happy and talk to the wrong person, and son, you'll be, they bring you down in a minute. Boy, you can be excited on top of the world. Hey, how you doing? People will rob your joy. What did Paul say? Well, chapter 1, single-mindedness. Here, in chapter 2, submissive-mindedness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, how he humbled himself, came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Stay humble. Stay humble. People won't rob you joy. Stay humble. When you get prideful and think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that's when people will take your joy. But you stay humble. I mean, if you ain't up here and you're down here, they can't take that away from you. They can't take your joy. Chapter 3, things will rob your joy. And Paul said this, be spiritually minded. Take care of that. And then chapter 4, and I know y'all don't want to talk about this, but in chapter number 4, guess what the fourth thing that Philippians chapter 4 talks about that will rob your joy? Worry. Worry will rob your joy. It'll take away your joy. Worry is denial of the promises of God. Worry is a denial of the truth. Worry is saying, God, I'm not going to believe what you're saying about that. It's getting quiet, so I think we're probably in the right direction. Worry. People worry. You worry about everything under the sun. But God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says in Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. You don't go to bed tonight and you can have the peace that passes all understanding because God, hey, listen, worry will steal your joy. It'll rob your joy. And the solution to worry is this. Look at verse 6 and 7 and we'll be done. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer, that's why we worry, because we don't pray. Now listen, y'all were shouting the victory when we told them about the dead in Christ rising and all this. We done got on worry, and son, we done killed the whole service. Here's your solution. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, if you do that, verse 7 takes place. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, again, I'm going to admit, be the first one to admit, it's easy to preach it. It's hard to do it. I worry about stuff, I do. But then on the other hand, some stuff, Trace gets mad at me. She says, certain things, look, you come down this altar or you make an altar at your house, wherever, you're driving in the car, wherever you're at, and you're driving down the road, just you and the Lord, hey, take it to the Lord and say, God, I can't lose any more sleep over this. I'm going to put it in your hands. You can do more with my children than I can do. You can do more with my cousin, my grandma. You can do more with mama than I can. Lord, I've just hit my wits' end. I can't take no more. I'm taking my burdens to the Lord, and I'm leaving it there. And when you make up your mind, God, I'm done. I'm through worrying about it. God, you take over. Basically, what you do, you step out of the way. And God says, thank you. I got room to work now. You've been in my way for 6 months. I was waiting on you to get out of the way. Lord, you promised you wouldn't put no more on us so that we could bear. Get out of the way. Get down at this altar and say, Lord, I'm done. God wants you to be done. He wants you to be through working so He can work. And you just get it to where, I'm telling you. Now, hey, that's easy to preach. Man, I can preach that all day long. But now, hey, sometimes I'll lose sleep over certain stuff. That's just human nature. But hey, we need to get that. Paul's like, hey, Paul said this. Rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. You know what the second one is? Second shortest verse in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse, help me, 17, 18, 19, somewhere along in there. Rejoice evermore. Two words, rejoice evermore. You know why we can rejoice evermore? Because Jesus wept. Jesus wept so you could rejoice evermore. Two shortest verses in the Bible. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I saw this right here. Let me read this to you. We'll be done. You are to be self-reliant, but not self-sufficient. You are to be steadfast, but not stubborn. You are to be tactful, but not timid. You are to be serious, not sullen. You are to be unmovable, but not stationary. You are to be tender and not touchy. You are to be generous and not gullible. You're to be meek, but not weak. You're to be gentle, but don't be hypersensitive. What are you going to be? Be a balanced Christian. Rejoice evermore. Well, hallelujah. The Lord's coming. I'd like for Him to come tonight and take care of all our prayer requests. I'd be like right in the middle of prayer requests. Lord, I want to pray. No. Prayer request gone.